Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Apigral Limited's conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Meet Vora from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Apigral Limited's Q2 and H1 FY26 results conference call. We would like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host them. On this call, we are joined with Apigral's management, represented by Mr. Maulik Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Kaushal Soparkar, Executive Director, Mr. Rakesh Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Milind Kotecha, Investor Relations. I would like to invite Mr. Maulik Patel to initiate the proceedings with his opening remarks, post which we'll have an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Management, I think your line is on mute. Could you unmute, please?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, Meet. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the call to discuss Apigral's Q2 FY26 performance. I believe you had an opportunity to view the earnings presentation that was released earlier today. The chemical market is currently exhibiting divergent trends. While some segments are recording robust growth, others continue to face challenges, while a slower recovery attributed to factors such as early and prolonged monsoon season, as well as persistent geopolitical uncertainty. Despite this headwind, market outlooks suggest that the chemical industry is poised to deliver better performance in the second half of the year compared to the first half, supported by improving demand fundamentals and the gradual recovery across key sectors. In Q2 FY26, our sales volume saw marginal growth of 2%, while revenue declined by 4% due to the reduced realizations in certain product categories. Volume performance was impacted by an extended monsoon, subdued demand, and ongoing maintenance work at the plant. As a result, both value and volume declined in H1 FY26. With the conclusion of the monsoon and the completion of the plant maintenance activities, there are early signs of demand recovery, and we anticipate volume growth in H2 FY26, positioning the second half for the stronger performance compared to H1. Despite subdued demand and lower capacity utilization in H1, EBITDA margin was maintained at the healthy 25%. As plant utilization improves in H2, further overall improvement is expected. Our CapEx projects of doubling capacity of CPVC and epichlorohydrin and 19.8 megawatt of wind solar hybrid power plant are moving as per schedule and are expected to be commissioned within the timeline and the budget announced. We expect this to strengthen our diversification and reach to 70% revenue contribution from derivative and specialty business. This expansion, along with chlorotoluene value chain, which got commissioned in March 2025, are expected to drive the growth in FY27 onward. On the future CapEx side, we have moved a step closer to the new project at the current complex. Hence, we would be freezing it soon. Once approved by board, we will announce the details. This project will strengthen our integrated complex and add to the value chain. Second project is at the new land at the evaluation level at various stages, and we are working on it and should be able to freeze it soon. This new project will be sizable to drive the growth beyond FY 2028. This new project will be in line with the company's strategy, which is import substitution products where demand is expected to grow to the double-digit percentage for a longer period and where we can generate good ROC. We are pleased to announce that the Board of the Directors has appointed Mr. Rakesh Agarwal as the Chief Financial Officer of the company. Mr. Rakesh Agarwal brings over 29 years of extensive experience in finance and accounts, having previously led the finance and accounts department in his former organization. With his rich expertise and leadership, we look forward to his valuable contributions as we continue on our growth journey at Apigral. In line with this plan, the team remains focused on scalable, profitable growth and strengthening our integration and driving value for all stakeholders. We are advancing with clarity on milestones capital efficiency and disciplined execution to deliver sustainable growth as we expand capacity and capabilities. I now hand over to call to Mr. Milind Kotecha, who will take us through the financials.
Thank you, sir. Let me take you through the Q2 numbers. Overall, plant utilization stood at 78% versus 73% in previous quarter and 83% in quarter 2 FY25. Q on Q, we witnessed a volume growth of 2%, but as realizations for few products dropped, resulting to the revenue drop of 4% to ₹589 crore. EBITDA dropped by 19% to 132 crore as realizations for few products dropped, whereas raw material remained the same and also plant utilization was at lower level. A profit after tax stood at ₹51 crore. For first half of FY26, plant utilization stood at 75% versus 83% in first half of FY25, resulting in drop of revenue of around 6% to ₹1204 crore. EBITDA margin stood at 25% versus 28% in first half of FY25. This drop was majorly on account of drop in realization of a few of the products and lower utilization levels. We commissioned the chlorotoluene value chain plant in March 2025 and it is expected to contribute sizable way to the P&L from FY2027 onwards. In first half of FY26, the P&L reflects basic expenses, depreciation and interest cost without contribution to the top line and bottom line. Once the plant starts generating sizable revenue, overall profitability should improve. ROCE stood at 21% as on 30 September versus 23% on 30 September 2024. 21% ROCE includes capital work in progress. If we exclude capital work in progress, then our ROCE stands around 24% as on 30 September 2025. Net debt to EBITDA stood at 0.8x as on 30 September versus 1.4x as on 30 September 2024. Hence, we are in a very comfortable position in terms of our debt. Our net debt has remained flat almost at 496 CR versus 489 CR as on 31st March. And during the year, we spent capex of around 236 CR. So our strong cash flow from operations are good enough for the capex that we had to spend. We expect our utilization levels would be better in second half of FY26 compared to first half of FY26. And hence, we expect overall performance to improve from here on. With this, we can now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Nipun Sharma from VLS Finance. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Okay. So basically, you have been increasing your capacity for the CPVC. But I'd want to know that CPVC compounds are more utilized for the applications, whether it be for pipe industries or whether it be for fire sprinklers. So as you know that CPVC compounds are the form directly used by pipe manufacturers and only few companies like Astral Pipes appear to have the in-house capacity to convert resins into compounds. So I really want to know what is Epigrel's strategy behind expanding CPVC resin capacity to 150,000 and not CPVC compound.
No, CPVC compound, we already installed a large capacity from the beginning. You know, the capex requirement for the CPVC compound is very negligible. It's not compared to the capex required compared to the CPVC resin plant. So we already have a capacity. Even if it is it's required to expand the CPVC compound capacity going forward, it will not take more than three months, you know. So the resin plant, which is a backbone of the CPVC business, that is taking too much time to install as a capex and install a capacity. And that is the major key drivers. And that's why we are announcing only the resin plant we are expanding. If required in the future, compound plant, we will do it. But as of now, we believe that the majority of the people in India is converting more and more to the resin rather than in the compound. So they prefer to buy a resin rather than the compound buying from the market. So going forward, if we require to expand, we can expand in very short span and very less amount of capex.
Yes, understood. But who are the target customers for your CPVC resins? Because I've read somewhere that most likely CPVC compounds are used in the applications. So who are your target customers?
Oh, you are absolutely right. The people who are buying resin from us, they themselves are making compound and converting to the pipe. So majority Indian customers, they prefer to buy resins rather than buying compound from the. So in the third countries or the Western countries, people are buying compound from the market and prefer to do a only application and making pipe and fitting. But as a country like India, it started with compound, but gradually most of the people are converting to the resin buying, and they do the self conversion into the compound and making pipe and fitting by themselves. So Indian phenomena is different compared to the global, and majority of the companies in India also started buying resin only, and they are expanding their own compound because that is not a major capex and the technology. Yeah.
Okay. So what you are saying is that you are selling resin to your target customers. They are expanding into the facility where they will be converting resin into compounds.
Yeah. So majority, some of the big companies are there, but it is exceptional. But most of the smaller companies, normally they are not doing fitting compound, or they don't want to make a fitting compound by themselves. So normally fitting application, compound application, fitting compound, we are expanding, and we have done the fitting compound, and who can cater to the smaller companies who are buying compound from the market. Because for the smaller volume, compound is only 20% volume, fitting compound is only 20% volume compared to the overall business. 80% is a pipe. So pipe, they are doing self-compounding, and some majority of the smaller companies, they are buying fitting compound from the market. So that's why our facility is to cater the 20%, which is compound market. Only two or three companies in India which is buying also pipe compound also from the market. And so that capacity we already installed. So if required, we can install very easily. As I said, it is not a big deal. We can do it in 3 months' time. We can install a machine and we can additional capacity. We can do it in a faster way with a limited capex only.
Okay,
but
thank you.
But market is moving towards the resin and self-compounding and converting to the pipe and fittings.
Okay, understood. My one last question is, before exiting the queue, I will join later, is that for your CVC chain, that is chlorotoluene value chain, you plan to sell around 10 to 15 products after the capacity reaches the optimal capacity utilization by the end of financial year 26. So I just wanted you to comment upon the competitive landscape on this, because I got to know that Aarti Industries is also getting into CVC, and I think they are going into 35 to 40 products. So how do you plan to tackle this competition?
Yeah, so currently we have identified, you can make a 15 products in the same plant, which we have already set up for capex. Out of that, we have targeted the 8 to 9 products in the first phase. We will target these products based on the current customer base and the current market scenario. And that's why we have identified only 8 to 9 products in the first phase. Probably in the second phase, we might expand the further portfolio, or we might add the value addition further downstream of what we are doing 8 to 9 products. So, but right now we are restricted ourselves to 8 to 9 products only, and which is a major volume out of entire chlorotoluene value chain. That is our first phase, we are targeting only those volume only. Yeah. But in the later on stage of the second phase, we might expand to additional product or the value addition of the existing product what we are doing.
Okay, understood. The last question is, can you please provide the revenue contribution from CVC chain as well as from ECH and CPVC resins?
So, as we have disclosed in the presentation, 50% revenue is from the chloralkali and 50% from the derivatives and the specialty business. So, we are not giving product-wise revenue.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants of the conference that if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone to join the question queue. Our next question comes from the line of Sanket Baheti from GC Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Sanket.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted to understand what is the current situation on the CPVC market and what has been the price trend in the current quarter and the last quarter? Has the price moving? And another thing is on the anti-dumping duty on PVC, if whenever it comes in, what will be the impact and whether we will be able to pass on the same? And what is the expected timeline for the PVC?
So,
second,
current PVC market is on the bottom. The pressure is also on the price of CPVC also. So CPVC price has also gone down based on the PVC prices has gone down in last 1 year. But at the same time, as you said, if anti-dumping duty will come, the PVC price may increase and it can increase the CPVC price also along with it.
And what is the current price realization in quarter two versus quarter one?
So quarter one, quarter two. So quarter two, the price has dropped in the range of around 10%.
And say in absolute amount, what will the current price of CPVC?
It is around 100 or 105 rupees per kg.
100 to 105. And okay, so it was around 150. Now it's around 105 kind of number.
Yes.
Okay. And so whether we'll be able to pass on the entire anti-dumping duty, whatever the impact comes in?
See, generally the price of, as Maulik sir earlier said, PVC price increases, that impacts the CPVC price, and CPVC prices, the PVC price goes down, it also impacts the CPVC price. So whatever pricing hike will come in the PVC, we should be able to pass on in the CPVC prices.
Okay.
But again, that happens with a lag of a quarter. So okay. That 3 to 4 months of lag will be there.
3 to 4 months of lag, okay. And sir, are we 100% utilizing our capacity?
So currently our capacity utilization is around 50%.
In CPVC?
Sorry?
In CPVC it is 50%.
Yes, that's in the last quarter.
Okay, and in the quarter one also it was 50?
It was around that range.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bobby J. from Franz Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I missed the earlier part of the call. For what products did you see a price drop?
Sorry, I didn't get you.
For what products did you see a weakness in prices compared to last year?
So compared to last year, the drop in the prices were in CPVC.
So it's only CPVC that has contributed to your lower...
In terms of the price drop, there was a price drop in the hydrogen peroxide and also into the CPVC.
Right, and this was not predictable. This just suddenly happened.
Yeah, the PVC prices have dropped, if you see, from last November onwards, which has a lag of a quarter of 4 to 5 months had impact on the CPVC prices as well. So as the PVC prices will move up, that will again be impacted on the CPVC prices.
But then your margins shouldn't have changed, right, if PVC prices also drop?
But that's what, it again happens with the lag of a quarter. So that's where if you see our Q1 margins, we had been around 27%. And the prices have been corrected, but we had some sort of inventory because of which we landed around 23% this quarter. And again, it's a mix of many products, but eventually all 4 years put together, we should be landing somewhere in the range of 24 to 25% kind of a margin.
Right. My bigger question is that given the volatility in the prices, right, which are not under your control, how are you able to invest such huge amounts of capital when you don't know at what price you're going to sell the products?
Sorry, I didn't get again.
You are investing a lot of money into capital expenditure, correct?
Right.
But you don't have any control over the prices. So how are you able to do that? What is your internal calculation?
See, considering the way India demand is growing, we see there is a potential for all the products that we are expanding into. For example, in epichlorohydrin, we see there is a good demand for the epoxy, which ultimately goes into the construction, windmill, automotive industry, where the demand is growing. And again, in CPVC, that goes into the plumbing application, where we see a good demand in the construction. See, one or two quarters or maybe one particular year, there can be a market which is stagnant or not growing. But whenever we put any capex, our horizon is of 5 to 10 years. And that is where 1 year can be there where you will see a marginal or a stagnant growth. But then eventually the demand that is supposed to come will absorb the supply that is coming. So that's where we are looking for and putting up the capacities.
No, understand the demand part in terms of volumes. That is clear because India's GDP is growing, so demand will grow. My question is more around the prices, which are not under your control. So, for example, chlorotoluene, even RC Industries is putting up capacity. If there's overcapacity, you could have good volumes but low prices, causing low return on capital. Do you foresee such a situation?
The prices, what we have witnessed is, again, it moves in line with the raw material prices with a lag of a quarter. But what you said is true. Prices not totally in our control. But considering the demand, we see the price should remain stagnant or it might improve because what we have witnessed in Q2 is kind of a bottom situation. At least in terms of the volume, so volume should improve and price will, with a lag, once the PVC price improve, that will further improve in the Q3 or Q4 onwards.
Understand, but I do remember you saying in one of the earlier calls, maybe last year or somewhere, that CPVC prices are not directly dependent on PVC. Because the supply demand for CPVC is different in India, meaning there's more demand than supply. Is that not true anymore?
See, I mean, we have always said that the raw material prices and the finalization price moves in tandem. The link when we see is just that the marginal movement in the raw material prices will not trigger the CPVC prices to that extent. But if there is such a kind of a drop in the PVC prices, that will impact. Like on the other side, if we look at the epichlorohydrin, the glycerin prices have moved up and that has reflected even in the ECH prices. So that generally moves in line, assuming that the demand scenario is a constant way.
Okay, so you're saying for major PVC fluctuations, the CPVC prices move.
Sorry?
For major fluctuations in raw materials, CPVC price will move, but only for minor ones it won't.
Yes.
I see. And the CTC capacity that you're building, and is that all for domestic consumption?
So chlorotoluene demand,
the
chlorotoluene capacities we have put is majorly for the domestic market, but as well as we are looking for the export market as well. But it's minor, it's not up to that extent. Majority is for the Indian market.
I see, okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants in the conference that if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from the line of Shubhanshu, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, am I audible?
Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so I was looking at your balance sheet that you gave for this quarter and the number that you gave in your presentation. On the borrowing figure, there seems to be a mismatch. The borrowings that you've given for H1 FY26 in long-term borrowings is 507 in your presentation, and short term is at 25, whereas in the balance sheet the long term borrowing is quite low and the short term is a little bit higher. So which one is correct?
See, that is the simpler way of explaining in the presentation. It's just that the long term loans which are at the maturing in a year's time, that has moved to the current maturities. That's why in the balance sheet you will see the difference. Otherwise, if you add up, our loan remains the same both in the presentation as well as in the P&L. That's why in the balance sheet.
Okay, so you think the sum should remain, sum will remain same, 500, it will be around 533, and you're saying that should be the one which is in the balance sheet also.
So out of 532, 25% is the working capital loan and the balance is the term loan. And out of that balance, it's for the current maturities, which is reflected into the short-term loan in the balance sheet.
Okay. Yeah, I think that matches. I just wanted to understand why current liabilities is much higher in the balance sheet than the one which you gave in the presentation. The other part was even in this quarter, the interest expenses is the same as the June quarter. And at that time, you had mentioned that it is primarily because of interest rate hedges and the kind that you have taken at that time. So it's similar now also. The reason I ask is from last year, our borrowings have considerably gone down. So I was expecting our interest costs also to go down at some point.
Interest expense has been on the percentage terms has been lower side. That's the mark-to-market impact for the derivative product that we have. So that's where it is there in this quarter. So next year onwards or year put together, our interest expense should be in the range of around 45 to 50 crore.
So yeah, that's where my concern lies. We are already, I think, in this first half year is at 45 crore. Right, the total interest expense has been 45 for June and September. So are you expecting no such cost or no or positive implications on the on your interest hedges? Is that what you're expecting for the rest of the year?
See, that is, as I said, it's a mark to market. It's not an actual impact. So as the next quarter it will come, it will be it will be set off. So it's not an actual interest expense that we had paid. It's a mark to market impact.
So in the coming quarters there will be a positive mark to market, you're saying?
Sorry?
In the coming quarters there will be a positive mark to market.
Yeah.
It can turn around.
It can turn around. So that's what we are expecting to happen. So it's not an actual expense that we have paid.
So are you sure that it will turn around or is it saying it might happen?
See, mark to market impact generally said it happens set off. I mean, if you ask me next quarter how much it will be, I would not have an exact answer. But this is what we estimate that it will come down. It's a mark to market, it's not an interest expense.
See, that part I get that it's a derivative position and it is currently at this much loss. But if it is interest rate movements, as you are saying, right, it will be around 45 to 50 CR for the entire year and we are already around 45 CR. So I'm trying to understand what makes you confident that yeah, we will remain at 45 to 50 where only 6 months have passed as of now.
So next 6 months will actually show us that we will end up at what number. But as I said, it's a mark to market and it's not necessary to continue the next quarter. Actual interest expense is 45 CR for the full year and that will happen on a continuous basis.
Okay, sure. And my next question is on the chlorotoluene, plant. When can we start seeing revenues? Will it be this year or this financial year or from next only?
So chlorotoluene, we expect the sizable revenue contribution from should start from the quarter four or quarter one of next year.
Okay, so right now, I think you mentioned that we have had operating expenses and a depreciation for the same plant, but there hasn't been any revenues in this quarter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so going forward, it should improve from H2 of this year only, or no? That will happen from next year only.
From next year only, the revenue contribution. See, that is always going to happen. Once you commission the plant, it takes time to ramp up. So till the time it ramp up, it will contribute in terms of expenses in the P&L. But once it is ready, then it will start contributing the top line and the bottom line. So things should improve once it starts contributing and which is expected to happen from Q1 of FY27.
Will you see some gradual incremental revenue coming up in Q3 and Q4 of this year or no?
It happens, it gradually grows, but the base is very small. So that is increasing every quarter, but it's not sizable amount to disclose anything.
Okay, got it. And any update on the new chemistry that you are going to go live in? When can we expect an announcement there?
We are working on it. So once it is freezed and once the board approves, we will announce. So that will be soon. But too difficult to give any further details on this as of now.
Will it be doing it this year or will it go till let's go till next year? Can we
mostly this year we will announce the CapEx.
Okay. Sure. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question comes from the line of Nipun Sharma from VLS Finance. Please go ahead.
My another question being is, that's in one of your phone calls, which was, I guess, in first quarter of financial events, you said that CPVC price realization was low due to PVC prices down because of low global PVC demand. And you also added this, that Indian government, by putting the anti-dumping duty on PVC resins, it would not significantly impact the PVC prices in India. That is, it would not significantly improve it. So the CPVC realization is expected to be low. So my question is that, is it expected to be low for the upcoming quarters as well? I mean, any comment upon it? Because I do believe that it constitutes a good section of percentage for revenue, considering that because of its low price realization, the revenue did fall.
So PVC prices, I mean CPVC prices, whatever it is right now, it looks like kind of a bottom out situation. And we expect it to improve from the quarter four onwards. As we said, it's the lag of a quarter, it should improve. So we expect it to improve from Q4 onwards.
Okay, so from fourth quarter, it would improve.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one last question. Because I really wanted to know that in what products your price realization dropped. Because you just said that in hydrogen peroxide as well as in CPVC resins, your realization dropped. Because at the end, the PAT for this quarter is actually down by 36% if you compare it with last year's same quarter PAT. So I really want to know that what exactly price realization was for the other products.
See, the PAT, compared to YOY, it has dropped around 36%. But in terms of the PAT margin, if you see that has gone from 13% to 9% in line with the drop in the EBITDA margin. So that is purely because of the raw material prices for few products inching up and the realizations for few products gone down. Now, realizations for few products as in CPVC, on a Q&Q basis, even the caustic soda realizations has not drastically, but around 10% it has dropped. So it's a combination of things which has resulted in it. But it's just the EBITDA margin which has reflected into PAT. It's nothing other than that.
Okay, understood. Just tell me the products of whom realization did fall down for this quarter. Apart from hydrogen peroxide and CPVC.
Caustic soda.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A quick reminder to all our participants that if you wish to ask a question, you can press star and 1 to join the question queue. Our next question comes from the line of Janak Shah from Wealth Finvisor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I had two questions. I think one was answered regarding the new chemistry which is going to start. So is it on the lines of import substitution? And second, my question was that, like, we are hearing big corporates like Adani and Reliance also entering similar lines. So does the company foresee any sort of competition going ahead?
Like new chemistry, if you ask a question, you know, it is normally taking 2 years time to setting up a project. So that's why, you know, we are about to finish our CAPEX on the CPVC and epichloroethylene by end of quarter four. So that's why in the same time probably we'll announce. So by the, you know, by the time our project CPVC and epichloroethylene will run on optimum level, we are able to start the new project by 2028. So the new chemistry is majorly for the growth beyond 2028 we are targeting. And then the second question you have asked about the Adani and their major focus is a PVC. They are expanding, because India is a net import of PVC resin. hardly out of 4.5 million ton, 1.5 million ton manufacturing capacities in India. So majorly they are expanding the PVC. As of now, the CPVC, I think the Reliance was manufacturing, I think, since many years, since 2015. They are setting up a plant right now, but when they are going to commission, we have no idea right now.
Okay, thank you so much. And the new product would also be in the lines of import substitution?
So import substitute is a priority, but at the same time, we would like to target a product which is a growth in the next 10 years, which is in the construction or that kind of segment which India is going to have next 10, 15 years if the continuous demand in terms of infrastructure is required in as a country. So we are targeting those kind of products which is having a double-digit growth for next 10, 15 years time. Yeah.
Thank you so much and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
In conclusion, I would like to convey that we are moving in line with our strategy through our expansion plan and diversification in terms of multi-product catering various industries. We are targeting consistent growth. I would like to thank you all for joining us here today. Please feel free to reach our IR if there are any still unanswered questions. Thank you everyone for your participation. Have a great evening.
On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.